number 48. If everyone read Chuck's email, if they didn't, maybe we will have some a little later, and maybe some are just coming in today. So it's glad to see everyone here today on a beautiful day outside, and it's great to be here inside with our brothers. We'll sing all four verses, number 48, Anywhere with Jesus, and then Dave will lead us in a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed for our class.
Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go, anywhere he leads me in this world below, anywhere without him here's choice would fade, anywhere with Jesus I am not afraid, anywhere fear I cannot know, anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus I am not alone. Other friends may fail me, he is still my own. Though his hand may lead me over drearest ways, anywhere with Jesus is a house of praise. Anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus over land and sea, telling souls in darkness of salvation free, ready as he summons me to go or stay, anywhere with Jesus when he points away. Anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus I can go to sleep, when the darkening shadows round about me creep, knowing I shall wake and never more to roam. Anywhere with Jesus will be home, sweet home. Anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go.
Now be led in prayer.
Our dear and most righteous Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this privilege of coming together this beautiful Lord's Day to worship you and to give you all the praise and glory. We're so thankful, dear Father, for your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who came upon this earth and gave his life on that cruel cross of Calvary. And through his death and resurrection, gives us hope of having the everlasting eternal life with you someday. And we look forward, dear Father, to that great and glorious day where we'll be able to see our Lord and Savior face to face and hear him say, well done now, good and faithful servant, entering here by him. Be with us now in our Bible study here this morning, and we pray that we will gain some new knowledge from it that will help strengthen us, dear Father, to become better and stronger Christians for thee. Forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings. In Jesus' dear name we pray. Amen.
This is where I do the hello. The echo. Well, we're really going to encourage you class participation. Romans chapter 12, guys. I'm not even going to say we're going to finish it today, but that's my goal. I was going over this past week, and I'm going, I'm having a hard time remembering where we left off last week. Well, because we didn't have it. So we're going 2 weeks ago. And because we were iced out, not iced in, we couldn't get in last week. And so let me just begin in 12, and I'll finish out the chapter again. We've read it enough times; we just didn't get there. He says in verse 12, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer." We talked about that. Distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse, rejoice with those that rejoice, weep with those that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another, do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinions. Repay no one evil for evil, have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, the reason why we just go ahead and read all those verses, because to save time, some of the things that we're going to be talking about in our class today overlap some other verses in the same context. We're going to be killing like three birds with one stone. But let's just back up a little bit. So when he talks about this idea of, we talked about verse 14, how difficult it is for you and I to bless those who persecute us and bless and do not curse. Who's our greatest example for Jesus himself. He never asked us to do anything that he wasn't willing to do, which is very powerful. And I think about this whole concept. We're going to come back to the next verse in a moment, but as I jump down, I see a theme going on here about the idea that, you know, how you treat your enemy. This whole idea that he mentioned earlier about don't repay evil for evil. Don't we as a people think in terms of justice? We always want justice, don't we? How do you hold back from being vindictive? Vengeance. What holds you back from that? What's a Bible lesson that would hold you back from being vindictive, Cam?
Treat them the way you want to be treated.
Treat them the way you want to be treated. What else? I mean, but that's easier said than done, isn't it? That's what the whole bulletin is this week. It's like, yeah, how do you do that?
Well, vengeance of mine must have the Lord back. And then in the judgment day, you don't have to answer for their actions. So
okay.
I don't need to try to answer for them or make things right. I will make things right.
Well, and if somebody comes in here and takes one of you guys off and kills you, let's say it's me, you know, I'll pick on you, kills us, what's your attitude towards that person? What do you want?
Kill him?
What else you want? You want vengeance right now. You want it taken care of. If we have a government, don't slap them on the wrist. Don't let them back in society. Come on, God. We want vengeance. We want it taken care of. Now, let's think about the first century. What do you think the brethren thought when Saul was persecuting the church? What if they had taken the law into their own hands? What would have happened?
They'd kill Saul.
And so what would have happened in the big picture? There's no Saul. There's no Paul. There's no Apostle Paul. There's no him and all the work that he's done for the Lord. The difference is what helps you and I is to think in terms, you know what? I want that person saved. Right?
The difference is what he was doing was not illegal with man's laws. And when we have things going on in our country that are illegal, because a lot of things people do are against God's law, we
right.
can't go cutting the hands off everybody that's stealing. However, Paul even said, if I'm worthy of death, allow me to die. And so he was talking about something that would have been worthy of death.
Sure.
And him killing Christians, was that? I mean, it is to us, but it's not to them.
But again, we're not talking about, you know, let the law do its job. You know, we would want that. But I'm saying for you and I to take the law into our own hands. You know, the brethren in the first century, if I'm there, let's face it, after Saul became a child of God, and he wanted to become a part of the church in Jerusalem, what was their attitude? So what changed their mind? Barnabas. Barnabas had to speak up and say, this guy's a changed man. So my point is, guys, is that there are times when we might want to be take the law into our own hands. And he says, you don't do that. You know, just leave that with God. And, you know, even with the laws of God, you know, if I was a member back then and I knew what Saul had a hand in, you know, with Stephen's death, you know, God's law or not, it's wrong. You know, man's law, it's wrong. Kill somebody. They stoned him just for teaching the truth. And so I think that what we're finding in here is that there are struggles that you and I face as far as having bad attitudes towards other people. And we need to be careful about that. Justice, nothing wrong with justice. as Trey was talking about, there are people who do things that are against the law, and we want justice to take place. But I think we as a people, and when he talks about this, that, you know, repay no one evil for evil. You don't do that. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Our goal, of course, as much as lies within us, live peaceably with all men. Can you do that?
Yeah, you can. You have to struggle with it.
Can you live peaceably with all men is my question. That's my question. Can you live peaceably with all men?
Yes.
No, because not all men will live.
You can't.
They will live with you.
You can't live peaceably with all men. What did Paul say here?
As much as depends on you.
What's that mean?
So we have to do our part. That's, I mean, somebody else may not be.
We can't do their part.
Yeah.
Right. And so who's the classic example? Jesus himself. Okay. The Prince of Peace. They killed him. Okay. Oh, I guess you didn't try to live peaceably with all men. Yeah. As much as what depends on me, I can control what I can do, but I can't control another. What were you going to say, Mike?
No, I was just going to point out that if Jesus wasn't able to do it, then certainly it would be difficult for us to do that as well. Because living a Christian life in God's way is going to cause conflict, and sure. not necessarily because we set out to cause conflict, but just because of the way we live is going to cause conflict.
So what's the opposite of this? As much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. So in other words, don't do what? Evil, but...
Don't do to them what they did to you.
Okay. And, you know, if I'm trying to live peaceably, what's the opposite of peace?
War.
And so, in other words, you don't go making trouble. You don't go out of your way making trouble, like you're talking about. I mean, trouble will come... Anyway, you know, when you stand up for what's right, Laurie.
An example in the Old Testament is when it was Isaac had dug a well, and the people come up and said, that's our well. So he dug another well. He said, that's our well. So he dug another well. Instead of fighting with them and said, you know, I dug this is
yeah,
my
yeah.
land, you know, he was peaceful with them to a point, you know, finally he had a well, but...
I like that because
we don't have to really deal personally with people killing us, but people do a lot of mean things. Things behind your back, stabbing you in the back, hurting your feelings and things like that. So that's what we have to deal with a lot. Or in the workplace, people being evil behind your back and things like that, stirring up trouble.
Stirring up trouble in return is bad. To me that's everyday stuff that we face. That I'm going to try to live peaceably by just saying, you know what, my opinion isn't worth forcing on you. Has everybody got opinions? But do you know anybody that's opinionated? What's opinionated mean? My opinion is better than yours. That's it. I mean, I'm smarter than you. My opinion is almost like law. My opinion has become law. And see, that's what when a person has an opinion and you don't accept it and they get upset and they're hurt. Why are they hurt? Because their opinion's law. You know, you should be thinking my way.
Okay.
Wait a minute, you're trying to live peaceably by just going, okay, no.
Okay.
You know, I think men could use this, brethren could use this in business meetings. You know, I think we need a 3-horsepower to cut the lawn. 2! Does it really matter? In the big scheme? And so us trying to live peaceably with all men is just not making big issues of things that are in our control, you see.
I was going to say, doing that consistently, because I think most of us, we looked at certain areas of our life where, you know, we have a handle on them. There's other areas of our life where, you know, this is a problem.
Right.
And maybe I don't see it as that. Maybe other people would see that, oh, he's very inconsistent over here. You know, the 75% of the things he does, He's dead on, but over here,
yeah.
Like, why didn't we see it? Why didn't she see it? You know, sometimes we just need to point that out to each other. If that happened, we should be honest enough with our brethren and, you know, somebody else's hands. You know, this is just like that.
Yes. And I like that, Tim, because, you know, again, part of my living peaceably with you is me learning to accept maybe some criticism, pointing some things out rather than building a wall between us when you were just trying to help me. You know, I'm trying to live peaceably with you. Thank you. You know, that's the idea of making peace, is giving concessions. What were you going to say, Dave?
Well, for a Christian, then it's not possible to live peacefully with all men, because in verse 14 it says, bless those who persecute you. So then living peaceably with all men is not the same as being good to all men.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the idea that we want to live peaceably with all men, but sometimes men don't want peace. I mean, we have that in the world today. Somebody can say, I want peace. No, I want to fight. Some people want conflict. Jesus, you know, tried to defend himself, but they would not listen. They would bring false accusers before him. And so as much as he tried to live peaceably, they killed him. They crucified him. And so for you and I, we will try to do the best. You will try to do the best thing you can. And you've used the expression, I'm sure, and they've set out to crucify me. You use that expression because you're trying to do the best that you can, and they won't accept it. But as Tim pointed, you still try anyway.
Yeah.
Even if they don't. Okay. We do our part, is the point that he's making. Now, let's back up in the previous verses and talk about how does this tie in? Because I think there's a theme through all these verses. What's it going to take to weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice? I think it's all dealing with relationships. This whole section here is talking about relationships, folks. What we do for each other. What's it going to take to do that?
Love.
Love, I like that. What else?
Righteousness.
Okay. But to rejoice with those that rejoice. Weep with those that weep. Kim?
You got to know me. You got to know when I'm happy. You got to know when I'm sad.
Okay. And I've got to know when you're happy, when you're sad. You see, it's hard. You know, it's like, I want people to be mind readers. You know, I want my brother to be mind readers. We can't be mind readers, okay? But there is that openness.
That's like down in Muhlenberg County, you know, they had all that snow this week.
Yeah.
And one of the sisters there who has a problem, she couldn't get out of her house. Literally, she could not get out to clean her sidewalk off. And, you know, and mom, they were just so upset because nobody from the congregation went and cleaned her porch, you know, her sidewalk off. I said, Mom, did she call anybody to come clean her sidewalk off? I said, I'm not saying that, you know, that I said, there's fault on both sides here. Yeah. I said, you know, it's not just that they didn't realize there was a need. It's just that she didn't call anyone to come help her. And I think we do that a lot. You know, we're like, well, if you need help, you know, call me. Yeah. You know, and then we don't ever call and say, hey, help me.
Well, and let's apply these principles. So, Kim, or everybody, why, you know, if I'm brokenhearted, you know, weep with those that weep, why would I not share that?
Sometimes people don't share the fact that they don't want to be valued from their attitude, their fake attitude.
Well, that's it. I mean, we're just afraid that, you know, we're not going to get what we need, and we just have to.
The church is the body, and when one part of the body, I mean, we body part hurts, or we should all hurt.
Yeah.
And when somebody's joyful, we should all, I mean, we work as one.
Right.
So, I mean.
But it's pretty hard to keep that a secret, though, the closer you are to people.
Right.
And I think that's the point that he's driving home there. I think it's going to be pretty hard to do any of this stuff, guys, if we don't have that closeness. It might be directly related in answering my question with verse 16. When he talks about the idea that be of the same mind, but he said, do not set your mind on high things. What's he talking about? Don't set your mind on high things. Verse 16.
You're right.
That's it. Because the next part of that verse comes right up and says, but associate with the humble, do not be wise in your own opinions. A person who thinks more highly of himself, okay? The person who is arrogant, the person who thinks, as we've been talking about, as Kim just mentioned, if he says, okay, I will associate with the humble, even though I have that attitude, that's really, what he's doing, he's being condescending. He says, well, you know, you're kind of beneath me, but I just want you to know that I'm going out of my way for you. I'm lowering myself just to be your friend. Like, hey, don't do me any favors, buddy. You know, when you have that attitude, you can't fulfill the second part of the verse, is my point.
Well, I think sometimes we expect to get a thank you from somebody when If I'm doing it out of the goodness of my heart, I don't need a thank you from them. Now, that person should be thankful. That's on them.
Right.
But for me, if I don't get a thank you from them, that doesn't mean I shouldn't want to do something for them the next time.
Right.
We all like to be appreciated, right? But that doesn't require being, you know, helpful and humble on my part. What do you think?
I struggle with that one simply because of the 10 lepers. Where are the other five? Or no, where are the other nine? Excuse me. Where's the other nine? Well, Lord, did you do this just for the thanks? No, you did it so they would be thankful. You know, they want, you know, it was for them, and you're on the right track.
So
there.
My point is, but he didn't stop doing good. He continued to do good things, even though he didn't know what that thank you or not.
But he didn't approve of those nine is the point that comes across.
Right.
And for you and I, this whole idea of humbling ourselves with other people, if we don't see it as equality, we're in trouble. That's it. I'm not actually looking at the response aspect of the point. I'm looking at the attitude of me being around brethren or other people. If I think I'm better than you, then I'm disobeying God when he says here, do not set your mind on high things.
That's just the opposite of treating all people the same.
Yeah. The whole idea of being arrogant, you know, you're conceited. We use that word nowadays. Full of ourselves. I like Paul put it, what, Romans? Romans 3, verse 3 of this chapter. Not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to. That's really the thing that we have going through here. It's easy to fall into that trap. And I think that relates back to our previous point. Weep with those that weep. Hey, suck it up. We all have troubles. You know, looking down on the success of somebody else, too. I can't share their joy because, you know, I've got a better job than that. You know, just it's hard to do these things, guys, if we're trying to mix in bad with good. You know, like James says, out of the same fountain, you know, you can't have bitter and sweet. And I think that this tells us to be well-rounded in our Christian life because you're going to struggle in fulfilling these other commands if we think more highly of ourselves, if we're arrogant. You just can't do it.
I think it's about sacrifice. You know, when you think about the, you know, all of us want to be busy, right?
Yeah.
And I can make my life so busy that no matter how hurting you are and in need of it, I just don't have time for you, right? And so it's about sacrificing some of the things that in my life, the high and mighty, like selfless things. I don't want to be selfish because I may have to set aside something to say that person needs me.
I like it. Because do you ever find, and all of you guys are, I'm sure, have been around people who've had burdens, do you find that draining? Have you ever been around where somebody's had problems and you're trying to, you know, you're comforting, you know, you provide that comforting ear or whatever, but do you ever find that draining? Well, of course, it's a drain. It's a sacrifice. That's Tim's point. The things that we're to do for one another, you would think, well, would really rejoicing with somebody be a sacrifice for me? Well, it takes time. Sorrow, you're going out of your way to provide comfort for somebody. All these things all tied together because these are the bonds that help strengthen the church here. It really does. Or as family, Kim?
That draining that you're talking about, that person that is, I mean, it's a humbling experience, you know, because if you're down and you go help other people, it helps, it brings you up, you know, and to be, you know, it's hard to be a, whatever you call it, a lofty person or whatever, and talk to other, because, you know, you're not concerned about them, you're just concerned about you.
Right.
And when you go take care of other people, it becomes about them, and you kind of go away.
Listen, have you ever gone to the hospital? You're the well one. Have you ever gone to the hospital feeling better after you went to visit them? I don't know if you... Yeah, I feel better. Wait a minute. You went there to cheer them up. Well, they cheered me. Knowing that you're helping someone. I think where that expression comes from, it's better to give than to receive. When you're giving, you're receiving. I think that's the point. The more you're giving of yourself, the more you're helping yourself. And I think we as Christians need to understand that the more busier we are for the Lord, the more we want to do for the Lord. It just, what more can I do? What more can I do? It just It's like the snowball effect. And that's what Christianity is all about. It's the growth process, guys. And I think all these things contribute to it. But it's not easy. Okay, we just have to make the effort. All right. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Explain. Okay. That's true. That's not going to work. That's not going to work. What do you think?
Well, the enemy, even though they're wanting to do wrong and do wrong against you, that it, the more that you can do for them, maybe the less they'll do, or maybe the less they'll feel that way.
Okay.
Yes, sir. I'm saying it has the opportunity to convict them, toward good works, because they would say, wait a minute, this is not how the world works. I do something mean to you, you're supposed to, retaliate, in kind, but you're not. And then, it has the possibility to have them look at themselves to say, now it may not, but that's on them. Not us.
Okay, Charlotte.
And it's certainly not saying to do these good things so that you're heaping coals.
Well, explain that expression. What's heap coals of fire on their head mean? What's that mean? That may have a little something to say.
So that they may not feel good about what they've done.
But that's not what the expression means. What's the expression? If you feed your enemy, give him something to drink, it's going to heap coals of fire on his head. Guys, what does that represent? Fire.
Anger.
Anger.
They'll make him even more.
Why is he angry, Courtney?
Because if they're being mean to you, they want it back. They want a reaction from you. And if they're not going to get it, then it's just going to make them even more upset.
Exactly. And now we're back to Charlotte. Okay, Charlotte, now you can make your statement. Because now we as Christians, we don't say, man, that guy can't stand me. I'm gonna shovel his driveway this morning. That'll get under his skin. That's gonna be great. I can't wait to see the expression when he comes. I'll get the camera when he comes up the door. That is not why we do it. And that's what Charlotte was saying. You don't do that. That's being vindictive. That's being vindictive. That's like, I'm gonna get back at him. That is EJ's point. I'm going to kill them with kindness. I'm going to kill them. Kill is bad. I'm going to kill them with kindness. No, we're just going to be kind. Okay, we're going to do the best that we can and mean it. But when you have it, but the Lord's point here is valid, as Courtney mentioned. She answered the why too. Why are they so angry? Because they feed off of the idea if you can stoop to their level. If they want to get a rouse out of you. Let's face it, guys. Evil people want you to do evil things.
Well, that's the point we talked about earlier, about it. As much as you can, live peaceably. Don't pick a fight. Don't start a war.
There you go. And again, you see the thing, Courtney?
These are the same people that if you give in just one time to stoop to their level, they're going to bring it up. And they're going to bring it. They're not going to let you live that down.
That's the danger.
Well, what about this? Remember that, and so it's one of you got to stay on your P's and Q's, but it's people like that want to bring you down, and then once if you give in to that.
So, Courtney, what's the solution, though? I mean, none of us here are perfect, and we've probably given in. We've probably stooped to that level a time or two, and they bring it up. How do you respond?
Just forgive me for that.
You admit.
Apologize.
Yeah. You're right. I was wrong. I did this and then you did this to me. You're right. And I'm wrong. See, he doesn't want to hear that either. Okay. He really wants you to go in denial. He wants you to lie. Then you go farther down. You're becoming just like, that's what the sinners want you to keep right on sinning, because that makes them comfortable in their sin. Let's remember that. And people who do bad things to you, they want you to do bad things to them, because now that justifies them. You did bad, I did bad. Now we're on the equal plane. Don't stoop to that level. We use that expression all the time. We tell our kids to that. Don't stoop. Don't become like them. That's the pressure that they're putting upon you, rather.
So yeah, let's make sure we're mindful of that. It's naturally going to make them angry. Now we get back to Mike's point. I'm remembering all of what you guys said. The whole idea is that you want to change them. And I have heard scores of stories of Christians who would tell me of how rude and how abusive they were to people, and they didn't reciprocate. And it finally broke them down, and they finally obeyed the gospel. There's a lot more I'm leaving out of the story, but the point is, because that person didn't treat them evil in an evil way, it eventually helped them. And that's what Mike's talking about. You're hoping that your kindness will eventually help them come around. It might take years. It might take years for that to happen. Okay?
I was having a conversation with someone one time, and he was very angry. And he said, well, why don't you just spit it out and get it out in the open? He said, and it don't make any difference what you say. He was trying to get me riled up. And I said, but it does make a difference what you say. There's a scripture that says, slow to speak and slow to anger.
It's true. And that's what helps keep us on the straight and narrow. No, Laurie?
Verse is kind of saying we need to go the extra mile. It's not just when they've been mean to us.
Right.
It's if your enemy, who's already been doing all this stuff to you, is hungry. If your enemy has a need, we should be willing to jump in there like their friends would or should and be there for them.
That'll actually help things. And like you guys say, there's always exceptions to all things. You can be kind to somebody who's treated you badly, Jesus, for example, and people just not change. But there are times, folks, where doing that can actually change the lives of other people. I'm just saying, it happens. And just use that tool. It's almost like spreading the gospel. You don't know what kind of heart's there. It may be wayside. Who knows? And it might last for a little while, or it might be a good heart. We just don't know. But these things were not on the premise here. I'll only rejoice with them if they rejoice with me. Well, they didn't rejoice when I got my promotion, so the last thing I'm going to do is rejoice when, you know, there's not conditions put on all of these. Just be aware of that. We have a tendency to do that. And they're dangerous. Okay, guys, anything else in chapter 12? Can we get into 13 today? But you don't have to feel bad if you want to bring something up in chapter 12. Trey.
I thought you were going to talk about serving in the military. And we didn't.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, it's going to be in chapter 13.
Oh, okay.
But we will do it.
Okay.
Who asked that question anyway?
Me.
Who did?
Me.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I thought you made a good point earlier about how, you know, all this ties together to work so that we can work better, not only in our own lives, but as a church, you know, as a local congregation, so that we can work more efficiently together. But then when we work efficiently together, then we're able to take the gospel to those who need it, and we're not spending time, you and I aren't spending time, you know, arguing over ridiculous things, you know, because of Romans 12:18.
Yeah.
You know, esteeming others better and things like that. So I thought that was a good point that, you know, this is not just some wild thing, you know, that God's putting out, you know, do this, and they don't really relate. They all relate.
Yeah.
So that we can work better, you know, not only in our own lives, but as a local congregation.
Yeah, could we go through this study and people could say, like, why all these things? Why is that so important? Don't ever question God's wisdom here, because what he tells us to do, there's rhyme and reason. There's rhyme and reason. Okay.
When Prince William and Princess Kate got married, in their service, the minister went to Romans chapter 12 and read a lot of it, which just blew me away because they didn't go to 1 Corinthians 13. You know, you think of these as being other people, but this ties even well in a marriage, because when I'm having a great day, Mark's not necessarily having a great day, or vice versa. Usually that's the case. You know, we're never on the same page.
There you go.
You know, and that happens so many times with everybody, you know. When he's hurting, you know, I should hurt. When I'm hurting, he should hurt. And, you know, these kinds of things work together in marriage as well.
It's true. I mean, you come home and you got good news. You know, but you don't want to hear her good news. You know, or sadness both ways. And you can see how it ties in perfectly in all relationships, guys. All relationships. Powerful. Within brethren, marriage, enemies, neighbors, okay? Family, and sometimes neighbors can really push the limit on you. You have an obnoxious neighbor, you go the extra mile, and that's just the way it is. Military. Nikki asked the question, can we serve in the military? Nikki's not here. That's okay. When we get into chapter 13, and to save a little bit of time here, guys, just quickly tell me, the first part of chapter 13 is about what?
Government.
Okay. Mark did an invitation on that, serving in the military a few weeks ago. Can a Christian serve in the military was the question. Okay. Say, Chuck, you're not qualified to get up and preach on this. You're Canadian. They're all pacifists. What are you going to do? Well, we have an army. Okay. Two guys in the pea shooter, but the point is, we have an army. Right. And a slingshot. So watch out. To me, it was rather easy to explain. Can you be a policeman? Can you be a policeman? What would be wrong? I'm looking at this, you know, because I read 1 Corinthians 13. Just a minute, let me read a little bit here because it ties into this question. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, verse 1 of chapter 13. For there's no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Look at verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. By and large, now there's always exceptions to everything in this world, but by and large, when we're in China, what was going to happen to us if we just obeyed the law? Nothing. Nothing was going to happen. What's going to happen to you here if you obey the law? Nothing. You got anything to be afraid of? Not at all. But the laws are there for those who do evil. That's a good thing, right? Being a policeman. What's wrong with being a policeman? What does a policeman do? We're getting there. We're getting there. There's a difference between murder and killing. Do you know that, Dave? There's a difference between murder and killing. Okay. Somebody can be killed and it's not murder. Can you give me an example?
Vehicle accident.
Car accident. Okay. You can be killed. Okay. It's not murder. There are accidents that happen. Okay, so we need to talk about that. Again, I got sidetracked of what I was just talking about. Oh, we're talking about police. What do policemen do? What do police? They uphold the what law? They uphold the government laws. Is that against God's law?
No.
No, that's what we're reading here. Okay, who's behind God's law? Our human law? God. Okay. Now, can human law make things that God does not support? Yes, we know that. Okay, we know that. And so if I can serve, to me, it's a no-brainer. If I can serve as a policeman that upholds law, can I serve as a soldier to uphold the law of the land? Yes. My country, our country.
Your better.
I'm going to take out citizenship one day, and then I can start using the word our country.
Well, God's always had an army, and no matter how you look at it, and he prefers to be the one doing the fighting for them, but when they wanted their own king, they had a military, and when they obeyed God, he fought with them. When they didn't obey, he didn't. And again, with the spiritual kingdom, we still have the spiritual warfare. We're still to uphold God's law. And there's so you mean God has always had an army to defend the country and what was right.
Yeah, I mean, bring it down to practical things, because I know people have questions, and you want Bible, you want verses. Well, you just need to think of Acts chapter 16, okay? You've got the Philippian jailer. What did he do? he became a Christian, right? What did he do with Paul? What did he do after he washed his stripes? Took him back to prison. Your own brother. You took your own brother back to prison. Your own brother in the Lord. You know, it seems to me that you could actually have two people fighting on each side and they both be Christians and they're both in the right. They're both defending their country. Now, I say that only to a point because I'm not comfortable. So, if I were drafted, well, not happening, I'm old, but if I was drafted, you know, I'm like, can I cook? You know, people say, you're being inconsistent. Because if you're going to be a cook, that's just like you being on the front line with a gun in your hand. No, it's not. In my mind, it's not. Okay. Conscience-wise, I see a difference. But at the same token, am I not supporting that person? Well, yeah, I can say I'm supporting. I support the soldiers. They need support. Okay, so I'm not here preaching the political aspect and using this, but I think it's something that needs to be recognized. And so to me, it's a no-brainer. Now, are there things that we can do? And I was going to write a bulletin article on this. Are there jobs, any job out there in the market today that's a good job, but it's just not wise to choose that job? Can you think of one?
I'm a bartender.
No, I'm talking about something that's right, that's pleasing to God. Okay, that's a good job, but it's just not wise to take that kind of a job.
You think something people say a doctor in the way they might be an abortion. That's probably not.
Yeah, that's not where I'm going with this. I'm going with the idea. What were you thinking, Courtney?
Well, Kelsey was first. Go for it.
I was just
going to
say, like, a lawyer or.
I was going to say, judge.
I don't struggle with that so much. I think I'm thinking along the terms of you tell somebody, you want to do this for a career? I sure do.
A waitress.
You can never worship God.
A waitress.
They're having to do some things sometimes that.
But you're still thinking bad. I'm not thinking bad. I'm thinking a good job. That's nothing wrong with the job at all, but it might affect your ability to worship God. Tony.
Chris Banner's seeing it right now. He's in the military. There's no.
Well, that was my second point.
Yeah,
I was leading up to that.
Because there's no place that he can worship this now.
That's my point. That's where I was trying to get into. So I wanted to parallel that where somebody says. Well, I want to be an astronaut. Well, what are you going to do in space when it comes Sunday? Then think about that. You see, I'm talking about choosing a career.
The ball player. They have to play on Sunday.
Yeah.
But I really don't struggle too much with that when a guy can actually get a chance to go to worship God. If that's your job,
they can actually
and you can actually get to services. But I'm talking about a situation. And that's why I'm saying that I'm not slamming military, but I'm saying, are you putting yourself in a situation where you're not going to be able to worship God, which to me is always number one to a child of God. You must worship me in spirit and in truth. Charlotte.
Well, we talked about this when, like, I was planning on going to college, you know, and, like, are you going to choose a college where there's no sound congregation for an hour, hour and a half? Or are you going to choose a college where there's a sound congregation 1 minute away?
Good one. I mean, because I had a friend who took a job promotion. He said, oh, I know there's going to be a church there. I mean, it's Tennessee. No church. No church. And I won't tell you where he is spiritually today, but it's not good. And so that's my point. You can make unwise decisions. And so in and of itself, you say, well, is it wrong for that job? I'm not saying it's wrong to take a job. Am I saying it's wrong to go into the military? No. It's police action. A lot of debating that goes on is when the country gets involved in something, they say, is this a police action? I'm not even going there. I don't want to get involved in politics. But the point is, is it a wise decision? And you got to leave that up to the individual, but is it a wise decision to make? And these things you have to take into consideration. But that goes for any job. That goes for anything that we do. What's wise? What's the wise thing to do? And that's what God expects us to do as his people. And I've had people talk about that. And you got to be careful of forcing opinions, because we had a gospel meeting one time, and there was my little daughter sitting there at the table, and the gospel preacher asked her, what do you want to do someday? Well, I want to be a news anchor, and I want to do the news. Oh, no Christian should do that. Well, she grew up and she was on TV. She was a news anchor. She found out Jen didn't want to do that anymore. What was wrong with that? You know, there are people who will just say, you know, you shouldn't do certain things. You can do things. And so we need to be careful about forcing our opinions on this. But when somebody asks me a direct question about the military, you go to Romans chapter 13, you talk about the comparison with police and their responsibility of holding the law. They talk about murder. Can a policeman defend himself? Can he defend civilians? What if he ends up shooting somebody? Does he have to come forward? Because we have brethren who are policemen, by the way. They are there far and wide. There's more common than you think. And I was down in Paducah. There's a policeman. Does he have to come forward? If he defends the lives of people and somebody gets shot? Of course not. It's a police action. That's not murder. There's a difference. And if you don't see the difference between that, then you're going to run into the same problem that you have with the skeptics of the Bible that says, you know, the Ten Commandments there, and then, of course, then you go, look at all the killing over here and the battles that were being conducted.
Yeah, and I know you said it, but I think we can hear that we're saying that the exception is no matter what job you're in, you could murder, right? A policeman could murder. Right.
Oh, good point. Right. If he's vindictive, he does something wrong, breaks the law. And to be fair, I've known a lot of good people who have been in the military who said, you know what, Chuck, there's always been Christians wherever I've been at. Well, you've been blessed to be able to be over in Germany. There's a church there on the base. I know the preacher that was over there for many years. And some have been fortunate that way. But then Tony brings up, it's not always that way. Lord.
I think you bring up a good point when you talk about conscience. And basically being in the military is an answer of conscience. You know, to you who doesn't want to kill somebody, but if somebody was breaking in your house and threatening to kill Debbie, you would do what you had to do to keep her safe.
Sure.
You would not want that to happen, but if it came down to that, you would protect your wife and your children. But to the person who is on the front line, that's what they're doing, is protecting their family.
Yeah.
They're protecting everybody's families.
Well,
so it's a matter of conscience. But yet, if you don't feel like you can do that, there are other things in the military you can do, lots of things.
But we already read it in chapter 12, but vengeance is not ours. You know, if I actually caught the guy who hurt Debbie, and I've got him tied up, and the police are coming, what's the temptation? Hold on, I'll be right back. You know, there's temptation. And we have to be careful about all that kind of stuff. What were you going to say, Dave?
About similar to what you said, somebody brings in your house, they're about to harm you or your family, and that's defense.
Yeah, and there's a difference, and we always got to be mindful of that. And so, guys, remember when we're talking about this, we stay away from opinions and our think-sos. We know what the Bible supports. We know what the Bible agrees with. We also brought up the idea of conscience and going from there. Having a love for all people, you can have a love for justice within all of this, and supporting God. And so what we'll do next week, we will approach this subject. Of course, Nikki will be in class next week. Maybe I'll tell her this week what we talked about. So we won't rehash all of this. But then we'll just get into talking about our responsibility towards government authorities is what we're going to talk about next week. It's very powerful stuff. Thank you for your comments. Belinda's going away. I don't know if the front door is open. The door is unlocked. Maybe she forgot some.